could all stand. We're going to get started. We're going to Matthew chapter number 8. I apologize. It leaves a hole when somebody's missing in the church. We don't have our scriptures on our overhead today because Brother Smith is not able to be here. And you think, it's just another person. It makes a difference when you're not able to be here. It leaves a void. It leaves a little spot out of the body that's just not quite where it normally would be. Amen. It's good to... I want to reiterate one more time. It was good to have all of our guests last week. If you know any of them, please make sure you're reaching out to them. Brittany has been coming faithfully almost every week for several weeks. And today we have Alicia that is here. It's been a while since she's been here, but it's good to have her with us today. And then Paula we had last week. And I worked so hard on trying to remember your girlfriend's name, Keegan. I got it down, and she's not here. You'll have to tell her, Pastor, you remembered your name today, and then you had to miss. I think she had a graduation or something. Amen. I believe we're going to baptize her in Jesus' name. See her filled with the Holy Ghost. Who knows? She may be an evangelist wife, missionary. Who knows what she may be in Jesus' name? That's right. Matthew chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4. That's where we're going. We do miss Brother Jeremy. He's not here. Did anybody notice in the music today? It sounded like there was something missing in our music. It's because we didn't have our bass player today. Amen. You get used to those things, and the body starts to make a specific noise or movement, and then it's missing, and you don't think you'd notice it, but you do. Amen. Matthew chapter number 8, starting at verse number 1. Didn't Sister Christiana, she broke a new song out today. That's the first time I've ever heard that song. She's worked so hard on trying to get new music and trying to stay up on that stuff. How many's thankful for that? How many's thankful you don't have to hear Pastor sing Amazing Grace every week? I love Amazing Grace, but after a while, it does get a little bit numb. You know what I mean? And she tries to keep new stuff in the repertoire all the time. And I thank the Lord for young people that'll push out and challenge themselves. And I think that is good. Matthew chapter number 8, starting at verse number 1, reads like this. And when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Notice that. He said, if you will, you have the ability to do it. But it's up to you, God. Then he goes on to say, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. Make room for your miracle. Make room for your miracle. Can we bow our heads? Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for the one more opportunity, God, to gather together and study your word and challenge our minds and our spirits and our thoughts to be more like you. Not every country around this world has the option or the ability, God, to join together on a Sunday or a Sunday afternoon and study your word and challenge themselves. But in some areas of this world, God, that it's completely illegal to do what we are doing. But we're thankful we live in a country, God, that we can do this. And allow us to be spoken to and allow us to learn and delve into your word. Challenge us, convict us. But more than that, God, I'm asking you to change us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Habits are an interesting thing. Habits is something that are very difficult to break. Anybody ever found this to be true? I have habits in my life that I always do. That's my nature. That's what I've done for years. That's the way I like it. That's just the way it is. And it's very difficult after 40 years of doing those things to retrain myself to do them differently. My wife will be the first to tell you that I have habits that probably drives her nuts. But the fact of the matter is they're habits. And those habits, when they've been done for years, are very difficult to change. Dave Ramsey says if you're going to change your financial habits, it takes a physical, functional, mental changing, and you have to think about it, do it, for at least 13 weeks in order to transform and change just simply a habit. 13 weeks. You're talking nearly, 3 months at that point? Or pretty close to that? I mean, that's a long time to week after week after week after week to challenge yourself to do things differently. Now I don't know if you all remember, and we all have little things in our lives that have affected us through the years, but they say a smoking habit or drinking habits or coffee habits. I'm not saying that anyone's any worse or any better than any other, but we all like coffee, and well, I shouldn't say we all. I'm one of the few that don't like coffee. But most like coffee, and to try to retrain yourself to get up and have a glass of or a cup of warm tea, it just don't feel right. It don't taste right, and I want my coffee, and I'm going to be a bear until I get it. Anybody else in the house like that? We all have those things that are natural habits because we've grown up doing those things. As a child, you normally always fixed my own breakfast. Now, I did not have a horrible mom. Don't think I did. My mom was actually up and gone to work usually when I was in grade school and in high school. My mother and father both had to work in order to achieve to be able to take a vacation and enjoy some of the things in life. When we were little, she worked at the house. But when I was old enough to fix my own food, I fixed my own food. Henceforth, I don't really care for eggs in the morning. I know that don't sound natural. Bacon is not my favorite food, and some of you would die for a bacon sandwich right now, probably, because you love bacon, and they say bacon makes everything taste better. But I was a kid that I would get up in the morning, and I would have lunch for breakfast. It was frozen pizza because it was easy, and it was quick, and I would have frozen pizza. Or I would have a bowl of Campbell's soup, or I would have a Little Debbie cake. And that was my breakfast as I was running out the door every morning. And to this day, if my wife will get up in her southern hospitality that she still possesses. Look at her. Isn't she beautiful? In her southern hospitality, and she can make chocolate gravy with the best of them, and she can make biscuits and sausage and eggs, and she can put it all on the table and make it look so good and taste so good. But I'll be the first one to say, I don't really want it. And that don't sound, I don't want that to sound bad, that I'm not appreciative, but that's not my habit. I get up and I eat that for breakfast and I'm sick. I don't want another meal for the rest of the day because that's a 5-course meal to most people. And I'm used to having a little donut and a glass of water. That's my habit. And all of you have your little habits. There are some that get up every morning faithfully and they eat oatmeal. They get up every morning and they do this and they do that. But we all have those things. But there are some that have habits that are habits that are impossible to break. There are things that it would take a miracle to change in their life. And sometimes those habits are things that they're not proud of. There are habits in their life that they wish they could get away from. And the difference between a habit and an addiction is something that a habit you can, by the process of time, change. but it's very difficult. An addiction is something that you will go to any measure, you will go to any means, you will drive around the world if you need to some extent. If you take them away from, they will break into houses, they will break into drugstores, and it doesn't matter what it costs, they've got to have it, and they've completely lost control. It is a hopeless situation unless the Spirit of God, unless a miracle takes place in their life. It's very difficult to break a true addiction. And there are things that we run into in our lives that we, over time, we just become accustomed to. And I'll be the first to tell you, there are things that as a pastor, I have to constantly stay on top of. I have to work on in my personal life, that are habits that aren't sin. They aren't things that if God comes back, they're going to take you to hell necessarily. There are just things that maybe get in the way of you and him at times. And sometimes you need to just challenge yourself and change some of those habits. And if you're not praying on a regular basis, sometimes you need to reevaluate the placement of God in your day and say, you know what? It's been a long time since I spent a good amount of time in the presence of God on my own. And I need to spend a little bit more time with God. So I'm going to realign my time frames and my time schedules and change some things there. And there are some things that maybe your Bible reading kind of misses. And this is one of the things that I had to train myself with the busyness of a schedule, working a full job and trying to pastor. And I don't know if you realize how much time really has to go into preaching a message. But it's one of those things that you have to just about use technology to your advantage today to be bivocational. And Brother Joey, I find myself using Bible apps on my phone more now today than I have ever, simply because I can pull those references up. In fact, this message was in my phone from during the week. Because as driving down the road last week, God dropped the title of this message in my mind. And I had to stop and pull up my notes app and start typing it in so that I would have it in there and I could prepare my thoughts and start working on that message that God had given me. And there are little things that you have to constantly try to challenge yourself and work on with transitioning of time and our lives getting busier and schedules getting faster. And it seems like everything comes at, or is it just me? It seems like just deadline after deadline, thing after thing, you get one thing accomplished and you've got five more waiting in line. Whether it's bills or checkbooks or deadlines for certain things for work or inspections for work or things you have to do and oil changes. And it just seems like the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And you can get so busy that you schedule God right out of your life. And there is a danger in that. And I think that is really, I don't think America in itself just stopped one day and said, okay, we're not going to reverence God anymore. I think America just slowly over time scheduled God right out of our lives until God doesn't have that apex, a place in America's mentality anymore, and thus our morals begin to drop and slowly begin to change over time, simply because we don't have God where he needs to be in our lives. And sometimes desperate things or desperate instances will cause us to revert back. How many remembers 9/11? And President George W. Bush at that time, when that happened, was sitting in an elementary school. And his first words to this nation was, "We need to pray." He called our nation to prayer. Simply because there was a shock that had hit across America that brought us back to a place that says, wait a second. What we really need now is not guns, it's not bombs, but in a hurting state at this point in our nation's history, we need God. We need a comfort. We need a protector. We need something that will help us through tragic loss of lives by the thousands. I'll never forget the smoke that was billowing from those buildings as we went to lunch that day. And the owner of our company and I sat in that restaurant, and everybody's eyes were glued to the news and wanting to know what in the world was happening and what was going to happen next. And there was an urgency inside of us that said, we need to pray. We need God to intercede. But how quickly we have forgotten. And you look at our nation today, just a few 8 years later, and actually more than that, but the time frame, I'm sorry, I go back and calculate it, but the amount of time from then till now, how quickly we have slipped away and allowed God to slip away from the forethought of us as a country. This is not uncommon. This is not unusual. This is a trend that America and society and people have been doing from the beginning of time. Tragedy, salvation, reverence, busyness, laziness, lackadaisicalness, tragedy, repentance. And you start the cycle all over again. And that is a normal trend for people. But I don't believe that should be the trend for apostolics. I don't believe that should be the trend for people that say they are children of God. I don't believe that should be the trend for the people of God. You see, the blood that was shed on Calvary was so that we didn't have to live that vicious cycle the way the children of Israel lived it over and over and over and over again. He said, I want to come. I'm going to die so that we can live in communion. You can have that peace and comfort, and I can walk with you every day. It's not a once a month or once a year meeting place at the temple to where we can get things squared away again. But I want it to be a daily thing. I want it to be a walking thing. I want it to be something. I want to be a part of your life again. But the problem is, how often do many of us wait until tragedy strikes to find that place where God can be God for us again? We find in the scripture reading today a man that was at desperate point. He had found the place of the bottom, if you will. He was considered a leper. I don't know how many of you know very much about leprosy. I studied it just a little bit in preparation for this message. But leprosy, by all accounts scripturally that you can find, is something that it is a very bad disease. It will actually transform your appearance and eat away the very flesh of your body. And it starts internally, and then it manifests itself on the outside. It looks as if it's something that actually completely deforms you. You don't find biblically where you find people that were just over time were just better, or they were just they took a medicine. But what usually, if you had leprosy, you were exiled to outside the community. You were put out of an outcast. You were separated. It was an infection that once it attacked your body, you were signed, sealed, delivered, and you were most likely going to die. Correlation between leprosy and sin is very similar. It's a very interesting thing because you see there it was something that would cause you to be separated from those that could actually help you. But the problem was, if you were around the others that could help you, you would infect everyone else. And isn't it interesting that sin is very much like that? Sin is something that eats on the inside, that develops in just a thought. It's just something that comes into your mind. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. But sin is something that a little seed comes in and you don't know know when it's coming in and you don't know how it's coming in, but it is just a little thing that gets planted in the imagination of a mind. And the Bible says that the seed gets planted and eventually it begins to grow and eventually it turns into something that you didn't intend it to be. And that is exactly what happened in every one of our lives. And we all found ourselves separated from the mercy and the grace of God. We were outcast. We were put aside. We were separated from the ones that we really needed the most. And God seemed to be nowhere around. It seemed as if we were going to die. And many of you remember in your worst states, there were times you wished you could die. Simply because sin will take you to the bottom of the barrel. Sin will take you to a place of desperation. It really does. But what we must realize is this leper came at a time. And I find very interesting the compassion of Jesus Christ. Most of us, if a leper walked up to us, we would say, "See ya, I'm out of here." Most of us, knowing the contagiousness of leprosy and how bad leprosy is upon the body, most normal people would have never taken time to stop and talk to this man. But notice Jesus, he did more than just talk to this man. As he's coming to Jesus, he said, "I realize I'm a leper." He said, "And I know you have the ability to change my situation. But my question is not, do you have the ability? My question is, do you care enough to touch me?" Now think about the faith of this man, the humility of this man. This man did not come to God. And I contend when you are at the bottom of the barrel, that is exactly the way you come to God. I don't have anything to offer God. There is nothing in my satchel that God would even open up and look at. There is nothing in my spiritual war chest, if you will, that God could even find useful. I've tried it all and none of it even works anymore. And you walk into the presence of God. And you stand before in the presence of God. With your head hung down. Saying, "God, I've watched you do it for others. And I know you have the ability to do it. But this is the problem, just like this man had, most of us have. Is God, after all I've done, would you do it? And notice what Jesus does. Most would say, "I'll pray for you." Would we not? But Jesus didn't do that. The Bible said Jesus reached out to someone that was hurting, that was contagious. The Bible said Jesus reached out and touched him. Jesus reached in to something that no one else could fix. And he said, "If you have enough faith to believe that I can do it, and you have enough humility to come and ask me if I will, I have enough power to change your situation." But my question is for us today. How many of us going through life with the busy lives that we have let so much get in our way between us and God until we completely lose sight, until tragedy strikes, and then we find our place with God again? My question for us today is, how much did we miss that God could have been doing in the middle? Think about it. What kind of lives? For instance, like this man that came to Jesus, could have been coming to you. But we didn't have time. We missed the point. We were going along to get along. See, that's the danger in becoming. Now I'm going to pick on us all a little bit, including myself. Comfortable Christians. We must recognize there is a world that's ate up with the disease, that's incurable. And unless a miracle takes place, they will die. Spiritually and physically. And I contend the spiritual one is way worse than the physical. And holding in our possession is the power to direct them to a miracle. But my question for the church is today, what are we doing with it? What's really being accomplished? Now I'm going to be really provoking, and I'm not picking on us. I'm preaching to me too. I'll just preach myself under conviction today. How's that? How many people did you pray for this week? Uh-oh. Now we're getting where the rubber meets the road, ain't we? I want you to touch my children, my parents, my family, my this, my that. You see, the world isn't just a selfish world. But the church gets pretty selfish sometimes too. Now, I'm not supposed to pick on the church, am I? But the facts are, how many people did I fast for this week? How many people, Brother Rodney, did I give a hug to? Say, you know what? Love you. It's going to be all right. How many phone calls did you make this week to say, you know what? Just calling to check on you. Don't need anything. Call and see if everything's all right. You know what you're doing when you do those kinds of things? You're making room for a miracle. You're clearing out a crowd because there may be a day that there's a woman with an issue of blood that's had about all she can handle. She's went to every doctor there is that could said they could fix her, and she came up empty-handed. She had been fighting this disease for years. She had been to the point where she couldn't handle it anymore. And finally, just in the midst of the crowd, she pressed her way and pushed her way through just enough till she could just get a touch. And she got her miracle. I think sometimes we, as the church, and I'm picking on all of the church, we have a little bit of, would call it laziness, but we don't think about it sometimes. It's not that we don't love people. I just think sometimes we forget they're lost. Now think about this. I think sometimes it doesn't really dawn us that if God doesn't intercede, they have a disease called sin. And if sin is not remitted, and sin is not removed, the Bible says sin will not enter into heaven. And unless there's an atonement for that sin, unless a miracle takes place in their life. You see, this is something that I think most of us, we get to tragedy. We get to that place where it's inoperable. We get to that place where the kids are backslid. We get to that point where no one else can change the situation. And then we pray for a miracle. Do we not? Take away the cancer. Take away this. Take away that. Take away this. Take away that. And I contend that's not the greatest miracle God can do. The greatest miracle God can do is what I watched him do in your life. 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 In so many others. See, God only... Now I'm stepping on some theological boundaries here. The miracles that Jesus did in Scripture, he did, number one, because someone had a need. But number two, to prove he was God. He wasn't just going into hospitals just to heal everybody just because. There was a purpose behind the miracle. And the purpose behind the miracle was to prove, I can do this. I am who I say I am. I have the power to fix the body and save the soul. But he said, it's better to have the soul fixed than the body fixed. And sometimes we got to recognize it. Yes, I want to see him saved. And yes, I want to see him healed. But more than healing, I want to see their soul saved. I would rather see someone, Brother Joey, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and find a relationship with God that God has always wanted with them, than to watch a tumor fall off any single day of the week. But most of us would rather see someone get up out of the wheelchair. Wouldn't we? Because then we could say, that's a miracle. But the greatest miracle you never even see. That's a miracle where a heart was separated from God, lost in sin, and God transformed a heart of stone and made it a heart of blood again and purity again. And it was once corrupt, but now it is transformed from an alienated child to now considered a child. God. That's the greatest miracle that can ever take place. As I was working yesterday, and I'm not going to be much longer, I know. As I was working yesterday on the tractor, brush hogging some of the fields, getting some of the weeds and brush mowed down, that if you don't keep it cleaned up, eventually it'll overtake everything. And that's pretty much the way sin is. If you don't keep control of it, eventually it'll overrun everything. You can't control it at that point. But as I was working and I was mowing along, and probably like driving a big tractor trailer, there you can only see so much out in front of you. Now, out in front of that tractor, there's a bucket and two wheels and a big old front end on that thing, and you're mowing along, and you hope the noise of the tractor scares everything out of the way, if you will. But as I was mowing along, I turned into the woods to cut some of the trails through the woods that I know the deer and the turkeys and all that enjoys meandering, where they have a little security, where they can't be seen by everyone else. And we don't ever walk those trails per se, but the wildlife uses it. And yes, we do hunt, but that doesn't make us bad. But we make trails for those animals to enjoy life. And we have a mama deer that usually has twins there every year. And as I was mowing through there, all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I caught something, and it missed my tire by only this much. And I watched as a little baby deer, it was only this, I mean, it couldn't have been no more than this tall. It couldn't even run straight. It was running sideways, trying to run. It was so tiny. And it took off out into the field and over along the side. And I thought, deer, you don't understand how close you came to losing your life. That little deer didn't know any better. It was just there in the midst of everything. It couldn't help itself. But the problem was that deer was now separated from its mother. I felt bad, but there was nothing I could do. And my wife asked me a little later on, and my daughter also the same thing, was, you know, what about the baby? I mean, what about mom? How is she going to find that baby again? Mom ran off, and no doubt before I ever got there, and here's this little baby that can't even fend for itself, and it's just running through the forest all alone. And what are you going to do about that? And I said, well, mom will be back come dark. And mom is smart enough, when mom hears the baying of that little deer, she'll find that baby. As I was riding on that tractor, I couldn't help but think how so many of us, life overtook us. We get separated from the things that we really need in life. And I will tell you the one thing that will reconnect you with Him is the cry of that baby. When that man walked up to Jesus, I can't imagine what God's heart must have felt when he looked at him and said, I know you could, but would you really do it for me? Jesus' heart probably was breaking at that point. He thought, if you could only realize, this was everything I came for. This was my purpose of being here at this very moment, so that I could touch you. That's what I came for. It's not a matter of if I will. It's a matter of when you cry. Every single one of us. And I don't know what state you are in your walk with God. Because you may sit here and look everything perfect. Because we can hide things very well. We all do. I don't know what state you're in your walk with God. You may pray 5 times a week, 3 times a day, and fast 4 out of 5 days a week. I don't know your life. And you may be scheduling God right out of your life. I don't know, but you do. That's my job as a pastor. To every now and then ring the bell and say, stop. Where are you at right now? Where is your life and your relationship right now? Not 5 years ago, not 10 minutes ago, not next week, but right now. Where are you at? Is there still room for God to talk to you? Is there still room for God to communicate with you? Because if there's not, there's still hope. Let's all stand. Say, preacher, I try to do most things right. We all do. Every one of us. That's our really will of our lives, is to allow God to do things in our lives. But what if? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed here today. What if you made room for your miracle before you needed it? What if there was a place that you had carved out and said, God, I know tragedy's not here right now. And God, I got a good job. And I've got a place to live. And my car's not broke. But I don't want to be, God, someone that just calls you when I got a need. But God, I'm here today to stand in your presence. Because I want to be available for a miracle in my life. You may stand here today and say, well, I don't know what kind of miracle I need in my life. If you have been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you live a godly life, you're walking with God to the best of your abilities, maybe you aren't the one that needs the miracle, but maybe you are the one that connect that one with the miracle worker. Maybe you're the one that can open that door. Say, you know what? Tragedy's not in my life right now. But I want you to know there's a day that it was. And I met a man called Jesus. And he transformed everything in my life. And there's no way I'd be standing here today if it weren't for him.
Lord, hear our prayer.
So today I ask us, no matter what stage of life you're in, I wonder if we could find a place to pray. Maybe at your seat, maybe at these altars. I don't care. Maybe you just want to sit down and pray at your pew. Can we just spend a few moments in the presence of God and say, God, I just need to push some things aside for the moment. I need to think about and reevaluate my walk and my life and everything that I'm doing in my life. And do you really have the influence and the voice and the avenues into my heart and my mind that you used to? And am I really open as I was the first day I met you, God, when I came to you with desperation and hopelessness and lost, and I had no place to turn and I had no place to go, and I didn't know where I could find. But today, God, I'm asking you to just reanalyze my life. I'm just coming to you, God, knowing that I know you have the ability to do it, but would you do it for me one more time?
Lord, hear our cry.
Would you one more time speak to me, God? I just need to know you're there. Would you one more time just let me know,
Jesus,
it's going to be all right.
Breathe life.
Everything's
into
in control. You've got this thing. I know you have the power, God, but when I look at my wayward steps going all over the place and living for you, not living for you, walking with you, not walking with you, sin and carnality and spirituality and righteousness and all of this stuff, God. My inconsistent walk with you, God, I know I don't deserve it. But I'm asking you, God, would you just touch me one more time? God, would you let them know that that's the moment of opportunity that you've been waiting on? That's the place that you've been longing for, because there's a little window and you hear a child, you hear a baby that's separated from you, that's lost. And the Bible said that you would leave the 99 and you would go find that one, and you would wrap your arms around them and you would carry them till they could walk again. But the only way you can find them is if there is a cry.
Hear us from heaven.
From that child.
Hear us from heaven.
So God, I'm asking you to reach down with mercy and grace and love here today one more time.
Hear us from heaven.
Let your anointing, God,
hear us from heaven.
Impart some things in the spirit that maybe some direction needs to be given here today. Maybe some mercy, a little grace, God. But we need love to walk through this house one more time and let them know that you still love them. And they'll never outrun you and running to a world of sin and trying to escape you. You'll be there. waiting for them to find and come to that point of decision and recognize their need one more time. But God, don't let them run too far. Don't let them get too separated that they can never get back. But God, let them realize the hedge of protection that they find when they're close to the house of God. When they're close to the people of God, they're close to you. There's an umbrella there of mercy. There's an umbrella of grace that the devil can't touch them. And
Lord, hear our prayer,
there's a place, God, of protection.
Forgive our sins.
Thank you, God. I know I don't deserve it.
As we call on your name, you make this place.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Speak to us, God, one more time.
And open
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Unlock the deaf.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Come to your people. As we draw near and hear us from heaven and touch our generation, we are your people crying out in desperation. Open the blind eyes.
Let them know you're there, God.
Let them
know, God, you're there in every step and every turn.
Hear us from heaven, touch our generation,
in the name of Jesus.
We are your people.
God, I'm asking you to walk through this house right now, God. Wrap your arms around someone that may be wayward, that may be wandering, that maybe they've got separated from you. Let them know you care. Let them know you love them, God, one more time. Let them know, God, you gave this preacher a message, God, just for them.
Jesus,
hand signed.
Breathe life into
from you. God, you could have spoke anything to this church today, but you spoke something that says, you know what, I care about you. And I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.